Hello and welcome to another Tech Plus with myself, Jan, and also Kane. As always, ready to bring you this week's biggest tech stories. Kane, hello. How's it going? How was your week?
Good week. It is getting cold.
Oh, it is freezing now, eh?
Especially
what is happening? Oh, wait, it's called winter.
Yeah, we're there. I think it's well welcomed itself here at the moment.
Yeah, but with load shedding, it's difficult, eh? If you don't have, like, gas heaters and stuff, or, like, a nice fireplace can stay on when the power goes out, it's really tough.
Yeah, because no one can simply put on a heating element in load shedding.
No.
Even your alternative power solutions can't handle, you know, a 2,000-watt kettle. Now you want to put a 2,000-watt always-on kettle. It's just heating up and blowing air for 4 hours. It'll never work.
You know, I didn't realize that heaters were so power-hungry until, you know, you kind of check the wattage and you see you can't run it on the inverter and all that stuff.
No.
Like, it just sucks it dry in 1 minute.
It's like taking the element out of your geyser and just putting it behind a fan. And you're just blowing air through it.
Here's a life hack. If your house is like open plan, what you can do is just leave the oven open after you used it. And it kind of makes a difference, eh?
I would hope so. I
mean, it does,
a lot afterwards, of temperature in there.
Afterwards, after you did your 180 in the oven, just leave it open and let it go through your house. It helps a bit.
You know, that reminds me of summer when it's really hot here in this area in the garden route, and it's like hot.
Yes.
And you leave and you cook some food in the oven, and then the oven's now made the whole house like unlivable.
That's terrible. But in winter, it's lovely.
Lovely. I'll take it any day.
Yeah, it's lovely. Listen, load shedding getting worse. I see this week the acting CEO, Khalib Qasim, said we're going to have minimum stage 8 this winter, but I think we could see even higher.
No, it's not.
Truth be told.
It's not good, eh? I mean, when you look at the Kuburg nuclear power station, I believe that Eskom is planning another 200-day shutdown of the reactor at Kuburg to prepare it for its next 20-year life extension. And they've got a hard deadline on the 24th of July, 2024, to have this power station done. And they've obviously running late on that deadline already. But that Kuburg power station produces about 900 megawatts of power.
Which it's not online at the moment, is it?
No, it's offline. For this planned maintenance now, for the next 200 days. A long time it's going to be gone for. Potentially all the way to the middle of next year.
So 900 megawatts, that's a lot.
It's one stage of load shedding.
Yeah.
So everyone's talking about, wow, we're at high stages of load shedding. We're talking about one stage.
Could come a stage down if we had it online.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And now we're not having it online until next year?
Until next year. It's completely... one of our most powerful nuclear power generators is just completely offline. And look, you have to make sure... The lack of doing maintenance was how we got to this issue in the first place. So I understand it has to be done. But it couldn't come at a worse time. In the middle of winter, everything's breaking down.
But, I mean, they even said and admitted, this Qasim man said in the news this week that it's going to be a long and hard winter for South Africans. A cold one and a hard one with no lights. So it's going to be difficult. But, you know, there's nothing we can do unless you have a lot of money and you can go off-grid. And, you know, that's the way to do it nowadays. There's not much you can do. I mean... Doesn't help to complain. I mean, we need to channel that energy of complaining into finding solutions.
Yeah, I mean, on Friday, you know, we have quite severe load shedding. But on Saturday as well, it's apparently supposed to go down to stage 3 and then as low as stage 1 on Sunday. But I don't see how that's possible. I feel like it's just empty promises. I mean, I might be wrong, but...
You know what? There's nothing as bad as... looking at the schedule before you do, you're like, tonight I'm just going to chill. It's Friday night, 8 o'clock, just going to watch some movies and stuff, you know, like a marathon of my favorite show. And then you see the schedule saying 8 o'clock until past midnight. Now you can only start watching your movies at midnight. So what do you do from 8 to 12 p.m.?
Call it an early night.
It's crazy. I'm like, I know people who the first thing they do in the morning is they open Eskom's Push, the app, to plan their day accordingly. Yeah, I guess I do the same, right?
I've tried that, but they'd like to change things in the middle. You can,
it's risky.
You really can only look at the schedule for the day and for the first half of the day, and then the schedule for the second half of the day.
And I see Penguin Random House, that is the publishing house for Andre the Rater's new book.
Okay.
Now his book is going around on WhatsApp for free. People are sending the PDF around, like the ebook, the whole book, what, 300 pages or whatever, where you can just read it for free. So it's illegal. Like the publishing house came out now and said, you know, we're going to take steps against people, because it is illegal to distribute a book like that. It's like a pirated movie. So you want people to go to the cinema and go and see it, support it financially. Now they read it for free on WhatsApp as a PDF. And they said, you know, and they asked Andre the Rater, what is he, how does he feel about his book being pirated like this now? And he said something like, it's funny how anything to do with Eskom is just being stolen. Like even the book about Eskom is being stolen. I think that was quite a quirky answer.
That was good answer
to that situation. But yeah, you know, you can understand. I mean, when you buy a book, you'll see in the fine print. I think it's in front or way at the back. You're not allowed to copy it, photocopy it, or you know, you can get it from a library or borrow it from a friend.
Yeah, no, once it's a PDF and it's out there, I mean, you could ask people to kindly not read the PDF or read the PDF and purchase the book, but 20% of them might consider it.
Yeah.
10% of them might do it. You know? So
it's out there already. The question is, you know, who started it? How did it get out? Somebody bought it and put it on or what?
Well, my argument is, did Derrida put it out to make money, or did Derrida put it out to get the word out? Because if he put probably it out both. To get the word out, then that's exactly what's happening. He should be very happy.
That's true.
If you put it out to make money, why'd you put it out to make money?
But the publishers, man, the publishers and the proofreaders and all those people, they need the money.
Yeah.
Just, they want to sell that book. You know, it needs to be legit.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. But they have to figure out a way to counteract that. There's been a lot of projects out there that are trying to change and shape up the ebook world. But as long as text is readable on a document and your text is copyable on a different document and someone can somehow get it into a readable, free-to-share document, by the time it's there...
It's going to leak somewhere.
It's going to happen. I mean, every single book on the planet is basically freely accessible from the internet. You are most likely to be able to find that version of the book online for free, where you can just go on and read it. So Penguin isn't talking about something new.
Yeah.
It's actually a challenge they face in every aspect of their of their business.
Yeah, it's not nothing new. I mean, it's been happening for years. But I would still prefer having an actual book in my hands, you know.
Definitely.
Like smelling the ink, that new book smell, there's nothing like that.
Nothing better than a page turner that's physical.
Yeah, you know? And then the pages, you know, the feeling of it. That new smell.
Nothing quite like
real
it, is it?
Bookworm, eh?
So we spoke about Eskom, we spoke about keeping warm. So I thought it would be very interesting to talk about a few appliances that my broadband recommended to keep you warm without power.
Oh, that's a brilliant one.
Yes. So we're going to take a look at what some of them are. And a lot of them seem to be toned down heaters, like something that can probably be run off of an inverter or a generator. Just lower wattage heaters. So you've got the 500 watt mini electric portable desktop fan heater for 209 Rand.
Yo.
I don't know how I'd feel about a heater on my desk just calmly blowing warm air at my face, but if you're cold, you're cold.
Yeah, you know? But it's going to dry out your sinuses and stuff.
So that's a 500 watt one, which is still quite a lot. I wonder if it comes with a battery. Then you have a 400 watt Safeway mini fan heater, which is another type of one, which is basically just an even smaller wattage version of the same kind of heater. Then you go into gas. So you've got your Alva infrared tank gas heater, which is like some of those that you might see at a restaurant.
That's it.
With a big gas.
Usually
turner.
In the corner, yeah.
I actually saw someone the other day buying one of those. I was like, that's a clever idea.
Very good.
And
good
it
investment.
Really keeps you warm. And you sit next to one
helps.
Of those at a
it's
restaurant.
Lovely. Yeah. Like, that's the best spot in winter.
This is the spot.
Yeah.
Even Tapas has one, but it's an electric one. But if you're in the range of it, you know you're there. So that's a great little heater. And then a few more electric ones. Look, at the end of the day, when it comes to electric, you've got to just find something below like 500 watts just to get by, you know. More gas heaters as well. I you know those gas heaters that had the three panels on it and the guard, and was quite a big piece of equipment that you put the 5 kg gas canister in.
Yes.
And then you click, it goes tick, tick, tick,
oh,
tick,
yeah.
And it lights.
Oh, wow.
Those
are
also fabulous. Oldie but a goldie, you know.
Oldie but a goldie.
I had those when I was like 11.
Yo, you remember it well.
I would love one now in this temperatures, I'll tell you that much. But good old-fashioned wood burning always works as well.
Yes.
Of course. But interesting to see that there are some companies in South Africa that are actually building like low wattage heaters. As useless as they can be. I mean, you told us about an air conditioner that you had, a low wattage air conditioner. Sam, you weren't too happy with that, were you?
It's just, it lacks power, man.
It lacks power.
I mean, you can run it off a power bank, so that just gives you an idea. You run it off a power bank for like 2 hours.
Very low power.
Yeah, just like you literally need to have it on top of you to make a difference. So if it's the same with the heater, you know, what else have you got? Have we covered now all those things? Because I'm wondering, what about a hot water bottle?
A hot water bottle is
but it's non-electric. And what about an electric blanket? Because those are nice, you know, but switch it on before you get into bed. Then switch it off.
Have you never had the thing where, like, if I put on an electric blanket and then I get into bed, I feel fantastic. But if I don't fall asleep right away and I acclimatize to the heat, it's, like, too much.
Yeah,
I need to find a cold spot in the bed to fall asleep.
Yeah.
Even with my head without an electric blanket, if my pillow gets too warm, then I must turn it around to fall asleep with it.
But I don't think it's a good idea to, like, sleep with it on the whole night, you know. Just you might roast. Just leave it on, like, before you go to bed. Let it warm up your bed nicely.
Then turn it off
from
the wall.
And then switch it off from the wall.
Safe. You know, you can always be more safe, you know, especially with that kind of stuff. I mean, it's heat, it's cotton, it's like, it's
probably
unflammable stuff.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about buying anything from Amazon? Have you?
Yeah, maybe. Like, you see something that's only available on Amazon overseas.
Have you ever
bought
something?
You can't get it here in South Africa.
Have you ever bought something? Mm-mm. Never.
No, you have.
I've bought one or two things and they arrived. And I always wondered to myself, is it going to be more expensive or less expensive when you consider duties? Because that's always what gets you. Like, this thing is clearly cheaper, but then it's more than the cost of the item to in duties sometimes.
So where did it come from? Like, America?
Well, where I got my stuff from, came from, I think I bought something from America and I also bought something from the UK. And both times I didn't feel like I was ripped off. I felt like after the duties, after the shipping, I feel like I kind of broke just below even.
How long did you wait?
Fair. Quick. The one I did an overnight delivery, so it arrived in 2 days.
What?
Yeah, that was fantastic.
It's faster than Takealot.
It was quick.
In South Africa.
It was quick. I couldn't believe it.
No, that's like, crazy. Whoa. So how does it come by air?
It must. I mean,
yeah, it must be. Obviously. It can't be a ship.
A very fast container ship.
No, but listen, it's faster than Takealot because Takealot can take up to a week sometimes.
Yeah.
And they're just in Cape Town and Joburg.
If you're in an outlying area, that's where my extra day came from. So I got overnight, it arrived in a major city center, and then obviously.
Yo, that's very quick. Yo.
But my broadband did an experiment where they built a gaming PC, which is a computer that you can play games with comfortably. And they bought all the same parts from South Africa, and they bought all the same parts from Amazon. And they wanted to see what would work out cheaper. Which for me is a very interesting one because tech is always, it surprised me how evenly priced tech is in somewhere like the UK and what it's sold for in South Africa. In fact, when I did an experiment just a few weeks ago, I actually found that stuff is sometimes cheaper in South Africa than it is in the UK, which would be Amazon or America. Now, they did this test and they spent 15,000 rand to buy these PC parts. They bought a bunch of stuff from South Africa local retailers and they bought the same stuff from Amazon. And what they found is in South Africa for their 15,000 Rand PC, they spent 14,545 Rand. And their equipment is good. Buying it off of Amazon, they spent 20,150 Rand on the exact same tech. So that's quite a lot more expensive. So if you ever thought to yourself, you know, we get so ripped off with computer components in South Africa, it's actually not the case. But it's not to say that that's not what the prices are going to become, because when these items might have been purchased to be brought into South Africa, they would have been purchased when the rand might have been a lot stronger.
Yeah, and that's not the case at the moment.
Not now.
Mm-mm.
No, we've dropped a rand.
Yeah, what's it like, 19 rand?
It's
something
above 19 rand a dollar at the moment. And that we can expect to see that difference balancing out now.
Because
that's really what you're seeing. So I still, I feel pretty good about it, because you always want to get the best deal for yourself. And there's always this magical Amazon and Alibaba and all these other options. And it's best for you to know, is it cheap or isn't it cheaper? So in terms of computer equipment for specifically gaming, you're better off buying your equipment over the next few months in South Africa.
Yeah.
But when Amazon comes to South Africa, that's where it all changes, because where that extra cost is coming from is actually from duties.
Mm.
Most of that additional cost is going to be your import tax. Mm. So the reason it's cheaper in South Africa is because the businesses don't pay as high duties on some of their items. Some distributors and retailers actually have duty-free containers. They actually have containers that they pay nothing on to bring it into the country. And if we make America angry enough, they will sanction us and stop us from having that duty-free import solution.
We came very close to that,
I think. Yeah, just the other day. That rose some alarms. But interesting.
Very interesting. Yeah. Next. So keep it in South Africa for now.
Yeah.
If it's to do with computers. When will we ever get our Amazon here in South Africa?
The strikes are too strong.
Because it's taking too long now. It's just too much red tape.
I think when there's a logistical issue like it is now, and it's also, you know, it's driven into other areas, not just monopoly issues, I think it could take a long time. And I don't think Amazon is in any particular rush to spend more money to get in. I think they're just trying to nudge their way in, because think of all the other countries they can get into.
Yeah, why? What would make this so special?
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. Well, let's hope it happens before we die.
Maybe it's something our children will get to see.
Yeah, exactly. Right, let's go for some music, and then we come back with more Tech Plus.
Sheesh. Girl, I'm about to have a panic attack. I did the work, it didn't work. That truth, it hurts. God damn, it hurts. That lovey-dovey shit, was not a fan of it. I'm good with my friends, I don't want a man. Girl, I'm in my bed, I'm way too fine to be here alone. On other hand, I know my worth. And now he calling me, why do I feel like this? What's happened to me? Oh, oh, oh. Am I ready?
No, this ain't a dope.
Am I ready?
What you talking about? Supposed to love somebody else when I don't like myself, like, ooh, guess I better learn to like this, ooh, it might take my whole life just to do. He called me Melly, he squeezed my belly, I'm too embarrassed to say I like it. Girl, is this my boo? That's why I'm asking you, cause you know I've been through. Let me know.
Welcome back to Tech Plus. If you just joined us, it's Jan and Kane with you for the next couple of minutes. Every week for 60 minutes, we discuss the latest tech news. We go from technology to anything around it, like load shedding and all that kind of stuff. But staying with technology and stuff, you know what happened to me this week, Kane?
Tell me.
Okay, and it's just horrible.
I know.
I've got post-traumatic stress.
You got the shakes.
Yes, I've got the shakes if I even think about it. So my phone fell out of my pocket.
That's a sinking feeling, eh?
Like my PJ pocket. It fell out and on the tiles in my place. And this, like, you just hear, quah. There's my phone just dropped, and you just, like, it's face down. So you're so scared to pick it up now and see what the damage is. And then you pick it up, but you kind of don't want to look. And then you look, and then your whole screen looks like a spider web with all these stripes and cracks and glass hanging out and stuff. That's what happened to me this weekend.
That's a horrible feeling.
And it's a terrible feeling because, yes, you obviously didn't do it on purpose, but you're so mad at yourself. You're so disappointed at the same time. You don't even want to talk to yourself.
That's bad.
It's just this horrible feeling that you, the most horrible feeling that you can have. Like you just want to punch yourself or something.
It's no one to blame.
Yo, I'm such an idiot. I shouldn't have it in this pocket and all that kind of stuff, you know. And no more sweets for you, mister. But, like, I don't know. I'm just really hard on myself with stuff. Like, I just, like, feel so stupid. But I know it happens to a lot of people. I mean, has it happened to you?
Well, you know, the one time I arrived at my house and we had the gravel stones.
Oh, yeah.
So I arrived at my house and obviously I was in the car and I had placed my phone on my lap.
Oh.
This phone was about 2 weeks old. And I just get out the car like any other day. You know, I get out and I just hear, dut, dut, and I look behind me and I see, oh, no. I see my phone facing down.
Yeah.
And I looked at the gravel and I just did some quick math and I'm like, it's not looking good. Not statistically, looking good. This is not a good
yeah,
look.
It's like you're doing this analysis in your head before you pick it up. But you know what the answer is.
And you know, I picked my phone up and I saw, wow, it was so, the screen was cracked. And you know, 80% of the time when you drop your phone, you pick it up thinking, you picture all the cracks on the screen before you see it. And then you look at it and it's perfectly fine. You're like, sure, dodged a bullet on
until
that
next
one.
Time.
But this one, you know, you expect, you actually, when it is broken, you look at your phone expecting clear screen.
Yeah.
Because you're just hoping and praying that it is. And you look and it's cracked. But what really got to me was I was bleak about the screen because you know how expensive they are and it was a brand new phone. But I looked at the back and somehow a stone had landed perfectly on my camera lens.
Oh,
and my camera had a hole in it.
No.
Where the stone used to be.
Oh, my word.
That was
no.
A horrible feeling.
So there goes your camera.
No, the camera somehow still worked without a lens. Not very well, but it carried on.
Did it take dodgy photos?
Just like when, because it was on a Huawei. Like, you know, America tried to ban a Huawei, they just wouldn't die. Same with this phone. It's still operating to this day.
Wow, those are tough ones, eh?
Yeah.
But it's just, it's a horrible feeling. I think most of us, you know, we don't do it on purpose, you know, unless you throw your phone against the wall in some blind rage. But for me, like, it was just an accident. And I felt so bad afterwards because now you're like, the phone's 2-3 years old. Should I replace the screen, which can get quite pricey? Should I replace it with a cheap rip-off and then it looks kind of bad and the colors are all faded and dull? Did I just get a new phone? Now, from experience, I would say if your phone's like 2-3 years old, get a new phone.
Yeah.
It's not worth repairing.
Stick with the times.
Yeah, it's not worth
repairing.
Especially
if it's broken. Tech involves so
quickly. It will never be, let me tell you, it will never be the same again. It's like a car that was in a terrible accident. You can knock all the dents out and paint it and repaint it and respray it. There will always be something that will tell you that car has been in an accident.
Yeah, like its ability to only turn left. That's a pretty clear sign.
Yeah, but you know, probably like the people are probably saying, like, why didn't you have a screen projector? I had a screen projector and it was so annoying. It was actually cutting me and also affecting the way the screen works, you know, the touch sensitivity. So I took it off. And I don't know if it would have saved it.
I'm so pedantic with screen protectors. I think I went through three screen protectors just to put the right one on because it didn't feel right.
Okay, but you've got one.
Stick right now. Yeah, no, I don't. After that incident with the gravel stones, I don't travel without.
Good.
Yeah, no, good. I don't.
Well, lesson learned.
I've learned it so well.
Jeez.
My phone's very well protected. In fact, my phone cover sometimes makes an echo on my mic.
Oh.
But I tell the people I'm on calls with, it's better than my phone just breaking because I dropped it, you know.
Exactly. No, keep it on.
So here's something very interesting. You know, when you're streaming content like on SABC 1, 2, 3, when you're using radio transmission frequencies with your antenna to pick up the content.
Can you still do that?
You can still do it. And listen to this. This is pretty crazy. So South Africa recently missed its 12th deadline. For the switch off of terrestrial analog TV broadcasting signals, which is your traditional
transmission method. I thought they were long gone.
Yeah, it was supposed to. 12 years ago, in November 2011, it was planned to switch off analog TV signals.
So those things are still flying around here.
And 12 years later, we've missed the 12th deadline. Last year, they made an announcement that by July 2022... everybody has to be off, like all the companies that send signals have to be off by the 20th of June 2022, and everyone like screamed and shouted like that is way too early to do, very inachievable. So then they pushed it to March 2023, and that just passed now. So
and it's still on,
it's still happening.
So that's, I thought those antennas on your roof, those old UHF aerials were just totally useless by now. But somehow you can still pick up a signal or two.
It is some fantastic technology, eh?
Remember.
It's like, really cool.
Remember
really
those those antennas? The one looked like a braai grid. Like this square with all the like little thingies. And then there was another one that looked like it would just stab you.
Sometimes sometimes I find older technology to be somewhat more impressive
than analog.
Modern technology, because what it is is just a piece of metal that picks up vibrations in the air and transmits that to your TV, which interprets it and shows you a picture, and that is pretty cool.
But remember what we did if we didn't have an aerial on the roof? We'd have those bunny ears.
Oh.
Or those fancy ones that you got later on. It was like, it looked like a fan, basically.
That you put on top of
this
your TV?
Net, yeah, this round net thing. And then it had this thing that you could turn, and then two bunny ears as well. That worked quite well.
Mm.
And then I was still trying to do like some hacking and try to pick up Mnet illegally and all that kind of stuff.
Did you ever come right?
No.
You can tell me off.
I thought I did. But at that stage, it was like still Mnet open time. And one night they left the signal on. I think they did it on purpose to kind of, you know, make people want Mnet. Like, see what they're missing.
Yeah, let them.
And I thought I cracked it. I was like, shh, I've got Mnet.
Don't tell anyone. Don't want Mnet police to come to my house.
Yes, yeah. At that stage, it was like that. Oh, crazy, man.
I actually had a friend of mine, and I never knew if he was telling the truth or not, but he once told me that he was able to access, like, American TV channels through his dish by doing some special... something
configuration, yeah.
And I
changing the satellite. Yeah, apparently you can do that.
I tend to believe it, you know. I think maybe he did, because you used to have weird stuff like Fox and like HBO, and like I was like, where
this
are these channels coming from? Yeah. Where are these channels coming from? But that was very interesting. And here's something also that's very interesting. So Uber has released a new update, which I think might be actually pretty important for somewhere like Nice and in the Garden Route, where Uber is growing. Is Uber Technologies Inc. is expanding its rider base with a new service that lets teenagers hail the trip and ride alone. So the Teen Rides program allows 13 to 7-year-olds to operate their own Uber account after parents add them to a family profile. The company announced this on Wednesday. So this has been piloting they've been piloting this program in the US and Canada for more than a year, and they will soon launch this service in 14 cities in America, called Atlanta, Dallas, Nashville, New York, and Phoenix. And then they will start the localization process, where it might even come to somewhere like here. So parents will be able to track their teens' trips in real time. Contact drivers in real time.
Contact the drivers. That's very good.
Directly contact the drivers.
That's a new one. Yeah.
It'll also come with extra safety features. Uber said things like including a PIN verification system and an audio recording option, which can be activated by both the passenger and the driver. And that audio is stored on the individual's app and is encrypted so that it's only accessible by Uber if a user opens an incident report.
That's very good. I like the whole thing that the parents can contact the driver.
Yeah.
That's going to help a lot.
And track in real time.
That's going to help a lot. I think it's going to save lives.
I think so as well. Most definitely.
That's brilliant.
Also, as a final cherry on top, and ultimately I think one of the most powerful methods to really reinforce the safety for teens on Uber, is they've restricted the ride to only highly rated experienced drivers. So only a highly rated experienced driver can accept a Lyft request.
Good.
From a 13 to a 17 year old.
Good.
And then you've got the tracking, and you've got the communication.
Nice.
And you've got the ability to retrieve an audio file from the trip. It is
a small peace of mind for the parents.
No, you need it, because some parents unfortunately have to work enormous amounts of time and they don't have time to pick up their kids.
Exactly.
And sometimes you got to choose between letting your kid walk a long way home or getting an Uber in a dangerous Uber. Like, you stuck between two hard choices. But luckily, when something like this is available, you can actually be at your office, you can be at your work, you can be traveling, and you can actually see where your kid is in real time and make sure that they get home safely. And that's a weight off your shoulders as a parent.
This is something that we really need. I mean, just this week in the news, there was a teenager who went missing in Durban, and he was waiting for his transport in the morning to pick him up and take him to school. And in this I don't know if it was a van or what, with two or three guys came and they picked him up, and he found himself in a shipping container. He escaped and made his way back home. This was in Natal, in Durban. And it wasn't a girl, it was a boy.
Wow.
They're stealing our children.
That's
this is
crazy.
Very, very scary. So what you're saying now is brilliant. That's going to help a lot, eh?
We need it.
I don't know how parents... I'm not a parent. I don't know how parents sleep, especially with younger kids. You can't be with them 24/7.
No.
It's impossible.
But I think that's part of the process, you know, creating these environments, creating these processes that you can rely on, like trips, you know, rather than calling random people. Because even if you get a friend to go, or you get some local cab driver to go, you just don't have the control of getting in your own car and going. At least this helps you facilitate that.
Yeah.
And having direct access to the driver, and you can see where his car is. And a lot of these Ubers even have, I've noticed, their number plates on the roofs. Which I thought was very interesting, because it's clever, because if you're at a restaurant and you're on the second story or third story and you need to see if your Uber's here, good luck
That's
sniping
cool.
out a picture of the the number plate from three stories up. You know?
Have you tried doing that before?
It doesn't work. I have to use 100x zoom on my phone and use upscaling to get it to something I can see. But that is cool that you can... I think all Ubers should have their number plates on the top of the car, especially in America, because then you have some ability to actually survey and pick up where that Uber is if he's turned off his... Because you can do many things with a car, but quickly taking off a piece of big vinyl from the roof is a hell of a process.
Yeah.
You know, you could maybe put something on top of it, but then you look for the car with the thing on top of it. So,
the blanket,
you know?
On the roof.
But very cool little feature.
Very cool.
This is very interesting. So we're talking AI. We can't not talk about AI. It just happens
Absolutely.
Every single where you look. So the App Store for iOS, OpenAI, who's the creator of ChatGPT, recently released an iOS app for iPhone. So if you have an iPhone, you can actually get the ChatGPT app. Good luck finding it on the App Store. There are so many other AI apps that have come out that when OpenAI released ChatGPT, there's so many other fake ones.
So you don't even know if you have the right one.
You don't even know. Well, you could know eventually, but you don't find it on the first page of results. And a lot of people are angry about that, because like, how does all the rubbish come to the surface before the thing you're actually looking for? You know, it means nothing that it was released now. You know, and that in AI, you're asking it questions and personal information, and often personal problem solving, you know, that's very related to you.
Funny you should mention it. I actually had trouble finding ChatGPT on the App Store.
I don't think it's on Android.
Is it?
To be honest.
Yeah, well, I've got one. I thought it was ChatGPT.
It's not
I'm
that
talking
one.
To this, hey?
No, it's not
I've been
that
talking
one.
To this thing. I thought it was... Okay.
I don't want to recap the conversation there. Make sure it's not a human being.
No, nothing serious.
Some of us had a joke. We found an AI tool that allowed us to do something with video. But for some reason, they always took like 2 to 3 days to actually give us our file back. And we said, no, man, there's people on the other side here doing the work calling it AI. but you know Elon Musk, he really doesn't like AI. But he's actually the reason OpenAI exists, the company that started ChatGPT. And he gave a whole speech as to why it is. He was actually speaking to one of the original early day bird guys that were getting into AI. And that guy didn't seem to be too concerned with safety and the power of intellectual property and the ability to retain the labor in the labor marketplace in digital media and things like that. And he ended up giving about $57 million in total to OpenAI. He claimed it was $100 million, but they've checked the receipts, and it's about $57.4 million donated to OpenAI to help them build. And when he suddenly stopped giving them their money, that's when they went public. Very interesting. So the only reason ChatGPT exists right now, and you can see it and you can purchase access to it, is because Elon Musk pulled the plug on funding. So when you hear Elon Musk saying this about AI and that about AI, just remember he made his own arch nemesis. He created his own problem, which is an eye-opener for me, because when you're that powerful, that you can really have an influence. You built one of the most powerful machine learning models that exist. You funded it. You know, and his biggest fear is very powerful machine learning models.
Exactly.
And he funded it. He's like, take my money and make my fears come to life.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That guy's always somewhere in the news. I knew he would pop out somewhere.
So do we go for a music break?
Yes.
What are we listening to?
I don't know.
We're about to find out. It's a surprise.
It's a surprise. Here we go.
It's been a long night and the mirror's telling me to go home. But it's been a long time since I felt this good on my own. Lot of years went by with my hands tied up in your ropes. Forever and ever, no more. The midnight sky is the road I'm taking.
was born to run. I don't belong to anyone. Oh no.
Welcome back to Tech Plus. We have reached the final stretch of this week's show, and Kane has got some more information that you need to know. Kane, what's next?
So the battle between MTN, Vodacom and Telkom continues. Remember when we spoke about the takeover that was happening, and then Rain got involved in a deal between Takealot and MTN, between Telkom and MTN, and Rain, and there was that whole fiasco? Well, Telkom has just issued a major profit warning in light of their profit sharing, where they have to share their yearly earnings and all that sort of stuff. And it's up anywhere from 85% to 105% decline in headline earnings per share, which is quite a substantial amount. It was expected to be 28.8 cents per share loss, but it's actually 86.3 cents. So I think we're seeing a lot of these mobile ISP monopolies shifting. In fact, that wasn't the only recent event to happen in the mobile internet world and mobile connectivity world. MTN has basically crushed Vodacom in Bloemfontein. MyBroadband's latest mobile voice network quality testing revealed that MTN has the best network performance in Bloemfontein. So, you know, there's a lot of hot competition going on. I think a lot of people are also questioning what provider to use. I don't think Telkom losing money is just because other companies are trying harder. I think people are becoming more aware of their quality of their network connection. I think people are choosing service providers based on who has the best coverage, because you can have a great phone at a great price, but no signal in the middle of the day is not acceptable.
And nowadays they also choose it according to which network is still working when there's load shedding.
Yes,
because you don't want to lose coverage as soon as the power goes out. That's still a problem.
Big problem
for most networks.
Some networks are even going out just before power goes out, which leads me to believe there's some sort of pre-configuration going on or some sort. It's definitely not good for the companies like Telkom, who arguably has one of the worst. Like you can throw a stone in any direction and during load shedding I'll have no signal there. Guaranteed.
But can you imagine how much money they're spending on backup power? I mean, some sites, mobile sites, actually have like actual generators that have to start up when the power goes out. It starts up.
Yeah, and some people even have to protect those sites from getting robbed, and you can't just put, 250,000 rand lithium ion batteries lined up next to each other under a cell tower. That's definitely going to get stolen. A million rands worth of batteries lying on the floor, what do you think's going to happen?
I think they busted some guys this week or last week in a bucky. They had a few of those batteries.
Not surprising.
They stole from a mobile site.
They're a lot of money. Yeah. There's nothing cheap about a lithium battery. Nothing at all. That's why electric cars are so expensive. That's why Tesla is one of the most expensive, small cars.
Yeah.
One of the most expensive. But that's not the only thing that's quite expensive. You know Beats by Dre? They're quite expensive. They're headphones and things like that. Their quality... Well, you know what's actually funny? A few years ago, they found that Beats were putting weights, like fishing weights, into their headsets to make it feel heavier and more premium.
What?
Yeah, that's the story for another day. But they've come a long way since that. But
it's actually quite clever.
Beats says it's the only company offering earbud ecosystem harmony, which is quite interesting because Beats tries to be as independent as possible. They try and market themselves independently, all sorts of stuff. But nearly 9 years after Apple announced its acquisition of the brand, Apple owns Beats, co-founded by Dr. Dre and Jimmy Iovine. Today, Beats released a design video for the Studio Buds Plus. In it, you hear, "Our proprietary chipset makes them super simple to use. It offers a host of native features to both Apple and Android users. In fact, we're the only company to offer this. This is an Apple-owned business highlighting that it's not using the same silicon as AirPods." If you think about it, it's quite ironic.
Yeah.
You know, just like Elon Musk starting his own nemesis by funding OpenAI. Here, Apple, who owns Beats, markets Beats as having something that Apple doesn't have. And I don't know, I find it quite fascinatingly funny. It's quite ironic.
Ironic, I was going
to
say.
Because they own it. It belongs to them. Why not put it in the AirPods? Or I don't know. I mean, it's quite funny, surely. Surely. I own two companies and I'm advertising the one as having a feature better than the other.
Yeah, what?
It's literally marketing 101, really. It's so exactly. Well done. Clever, clever, clever guys.
Very clever.
And then lastly, we've got some new rules. So the finance minister has announced potential new rules for special loans to build rooftop solar. So we spoke about the levies and stuff that come when you go off-grid and how absurdly high they are and how it doesn't really make sense that you have such high fees to go off the grid, but the grid needs people to get off it. It's like a big, weird mesh of problems. But the National Treasurer will be, in the coming weeks, introducing bounce-back measures to assist with the rollout of rooftop solar for households to encourage electricity generation and expand the renewable energy tax incentive for businesses. Finance Minister said on Tuesday in Parliament, where he tabled the department's budget vote for the 2023-2024 financial year. The minister said he's published draft taxation legislative amendments for public comment to give effect to the to two renewable energy tax incentives announced in the 2023 budget. He said these proposals will assist in partially addressing the country's energy crisis and encourage private investment into expanding electricity generation. Specifically, government will guarantee solar-related loans for small and medium enterprises on a 20% first loss basis, as well as facilitate the leasing of rooftop solar by households and SMEs. The bounce back measures will be introduced in the coming weeks. That is what was specifically mentioned by him. So that's quite, I hope it's true. I really hope there's actually a fundamentally valuable incentive to secure solar generation capabilities on your house. We spoke about China. China mobilized 2.3 million people and they put 50 gigawatts onto their grid in 1 year. We generate 35 gigawatts.
Yeah.
So China with 2 million people and no coal, just solar putting on rooftops, managed to generate 50 gigawatts. That's almost double what the whole of South Africa generates entirely. Solar, coal, nuclear, all of it.
And I think we're generating 26 or 27,000 megawatts at the moment.
Yeah.
And we need 33,000 megawatts.
And 2 million people with solar panels on their roof could equal the volume of our grid. It makes sense. You need the incentives there.
Yeah.
That's what China did. China said, one, we will give you a loan to put solar panels on your roof. Two, we will legally allow you to sell your power back to us.
Yeah.
And number three, you will be able to earn anywhere from $400 to $1,400 a month just having solar panels on your roof that they paid for, that you sell back to the grid. Wow, I wish I was there. Please give me panels. I need solar. But we need initiatives like that. That's
why can't we do it here? What's the problem in our country? Why can't we do it? We have enough sunshine.
Well, I mean, just recently there was huge penalties essentially for trying to go completely off the grid.
What do they want?
I don't know, but there was even speaks at the worst time when I was reading about it. There were speaks of like R1,000 per kVA that you generate. So if you go to town and you buy a little inverter guy and a little solar panel and you put in your house and you try to put your whole house off of off of that, you'll only have one KVA, so you won't be able to do much, but it'll still cost you R1,000 a month. Now, a normal house is about 14 KVA. So you're talking about a penalization of R14,000 to have a 14 KVA system. Bigger houses go all the way up to 30 KVA.
No, man, this is ridiculous.
Yeah. Imagine being charged R30,000 a month to actually have solar on your house after you've just spent hundreds of thousands. So that's what I'm saying. There needs to be better incentives that make fundamental sense to the consumer.
Yeah.
And it will fly.
People will jump on it. South Africa, learn from China. These guys are doing it right. I think I actually saw a picture this week online of China or some country where they have all these panels, but it serves as a shade for cyclists to drive under.
That's cool.
On the highway. It like a sheltered place for them to drive under, to cycle under instead of on the highway. And it generates electricity, and it goes for miles and miles, that row of panels. So it's like it's got like a double purpose, you know. While they're cycling underneath it and it protects them from the highway vehicles and the cars and traffic, it generates electricity for the country.
Where is this?
I think that's China as well.
Whoa.
I was so impressed. China, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was China.
If you did that here, though, you one panel will disappear a day at least. You know, they'll
you're
have
right.
to secure that.
We need more laws and more law enforcement. The other thing is India or somewhere this week also actually said to their police force that if some of them don't lose weight now, they have to retire.
Why? Because they can't police.
Yeah, they can't. I mean,
jeepers.
I mean, have you seen our police force lately?
Some of them.
Some of them
will definitely not be able to run a half mile.
Yeah. You need to be fit, don't you think?
I would imagine. You know, if you're going to be in that role of work, I kind of understand where they're coming from. I mean, you can't be immobilized by your weight. And
yeah.
But you also, it depends where you work. If you work behind a desk, it should be fine. But you shouldn't be out doing protect and serve stuff if you, you know, can't even fit in the car, you know.
No.
No. You know, you need to be fit you need to be trained, and that's how you make a force to be reckoned with. Like, but that's the army. The army's there for that. So also I don't agree at the same time. Like, if you need to be fit and super strong, probably better in the army. There's got to be a place for guys that are just laxed a bit, you know.
Shouldn't
put
right.
body pressure on people either, just to do their job. So it's a fine line they have to walk.
Apparently there will be exemptions for people with medical conditions in India, in the police force.
Yeah.
You know, if you really can't help. But I mean, if you're stuffing your face with KFC every day, it's a bit of a different situation.
You know, I was once doing something. I think I was driving on a road that I shouldn't have, but I was young and I didn't know the roads so well, so I was on a road that wasn't supposed to be driven on, but it looked like it was, and a guy stopped me and he's like, yo, you're not supposed to be on this road. I said, I'll just get off. He's like, no, it's R1,000 fine. And I was like, oh no, I've done it now, you know, I earned R1,000 a month because I was young, so I was like, yo, this is gonna be a problem. He couldn't find a pen. He had a bunch of KFC in the car and he was obviously eating up, and he couldn't find a pen, and he said, sorry, I can't find a pen, so I can't write you a ticket. I was like, great, you know, so I'm not completely against
he give
it
you a drum, he could give you a drumstick but not a pen.
No, he didn't have a pen on him, and I got away with it. I was
you
lucky.
Got away with it. Well, it was your lucky day, eh?
Yeah,
otherwise it would have been a wrong turn.
I think what I'd actually done is I was a friend had asked me to give him a lift home, and I'd went down a side road or something like that we weren't allowed to drive on, and then we got stopped, and he didn't have a helmet on at the back, so the fine was quite a you know, it was no helmet, and it was on a road you're not allowed to go on, and I was probably on a one way as well. So it was lucky day.
Okay, no pen.
Lucky day, no pen.
Thanks to no pen. Jeez, okay. Well, that's interesting. Kane, thank you so much. Another great show for this week, and I hope that you will have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you very much. And thank you to all of our listeners for listening in. We'll see you next week.
Cheerio.
Cheers, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Freakiness inside, you know.
town, down to Mexico. Lipstick on in the Thunderbird, let's roll. Drive right off of the world. Leave your job and your gaslight man. Modern life was a big letdown. You wanna get away, close our eyes, pretend we're miles away. Hear the sound of my heart exploding. Can you hear the sound of my heart exploding? She said to me, days like these, you wanna get away, close our eyes, pretend we're miles away. Hear the sound of my heart exploding. Can you hear the sound of my heart exploding? She said to me, under big blue skies, desert winds, yeah, we made headlines when you showed him what it means to say no. Days like these, you wanna get away, close our eyes, pretend we're miles away, hear the sound of my heart exploding. Can you hear the sound of my heart exploding? She said to me, days like these, you wanna get away, close our eyes, pretend we're miles away, hear the sound of my heart exploding. Can you hear the sound of my heart? Get away.